All right, we're doing a very important pasuk in Yisro, so that's in Perek Yud Ches. The Torah describes, Yishma Yisro, that Yisro heard. He heard about the events that took place with regard to the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then it mentions that he took Tzipora. There's a lot of, I'm not going to go through all the psukim right now. It's a very fascinating episode. And he came out to greet Moshe. The Torah describes at length, for the Torah, because the Torah doesn't go into details, into historical details. So he sent a messenger to Moshe that your father Yisro has come. And, it would seem that all this is superfluous. But nevertheless, I'm not going into that right now. We can take it up at a different time. But then Moshe went out to him, and he bowed down to him, and he kissed him. Again, you see the Torah is giving a lot of the unnecessary description, at least what seems to be unnecessary. And the main thing is Ches. This is what the whole purpose of the visit. By Yisafe or Moshe Lachosno. Eish kol asher asa Hashem v'paro l'Mitzrayim al odos Yisrael. Moshe Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. That is, he didn't just tell him over here. Obviously, Yisrael already knew what happened, because he says that he heard. He heard the news. It was a worldwide event. But now Moshe goes into the Sefer. Sefer implies the explanation, the specifics, you know, the deeper ideas. That's what Sefer Yitzhak is all about. Everything that God had done. And the travail that they had encountered on the road, and that God had saved them. So Pasuk Tes, Vayichad Yisrael. Yisrael rejoiced. Hakol HaTovah Sh'asar Hashem LeYisrael. He rejoiced over the good that God had done to Israel. Asher Yitzilo Miyad Mitzrayim. Again, the emphasis is always the fact that he said that the Jews were saved from Mitzrayim. That's an interesting point, just tangentially. What's so significant about this pasuk? Just talking about Vayicha, that he rejoiced, is a fascinating idea, because it shows his perfection. It's very rare that people rejoice over some good that has happened to somebody else. This really didn't pertain to him. Because as far as Moshe is concerned, Moshe really wasn't enslaved in the first place, and that's a separate idea. It says he rejoiced over the Jews. And two things need to be noted. One is that very rare for a person to be able to rejoice over something good which doesn't really particularly pertain to him, unless he has some kind of identification with it. Secondly, if it's for Yisrael, if it's for the Jews, so then that's a greater level. Because in general, all things being equal, there's a certain antipathy to the Jewish people. So the fact that he was sameach for the good of Klal Yisrael is a tremendous mitzvah. Even today, and even as Jews, don't think it's so pashut that everybody rejoices. I mentioned he wasn't Jewish. And the fact that we're Jewish, and something happens to Klal Yisrael, I don't know. Of course we're affected, but we're affected in an ego kind of a way. If Israel has a big victory in the military victory, so then of course we rejoice, but that's because it's our team, so to speak. It's not because it happened to Israel. And conversely, when bad things happen, so we feel bad that way. But if that emotion wasn't there, and there are good things that happen to call Israel that don't affect us in that way, do we rejoice? See, that's a certain level of perfection. Mark is making a point that Rashi says that his skin formed chadudim, like goosebumps. And from there we learn out that, you're not allowed to, for 10 generations, you're not allowed to disparage a guy in front of a convert. Because it shows that, he's a convert. That Rashi shows you the richness, the complexity. On a conscious level, he rejoiced. But that doesn't mean that in a certain psychological level there was an identification with the Egyptian. He came to be, he was non-Jewish. Yisrael was not Jewish at that time. That's what Rashi is saying. But Rashi didn't come to diminish the Vayicha. The Pasuk is giving him the tribute of Vayicha, and the plain tradition, everybody translates it, that he rejoiced. The Chazal say that the choice of that word indicates that even so, even though he rejoiced and on the conscious level, but on a certain psychological level there is a feeling of identification as a human being. Then in Yud, Vayomer Yisro, Baruch Hashem, Asher Hitzel Eschem Miyad Mitzrayim, Umiyad Paro. So now he gives Shevach Hashem, blesses God, who saved you from Mitzrayim and from Paro. Ashehutzal Zohom, Mitachas Yad Mitzrayim. Okay? Now, Yud Aleph. Ato Yadati Ki Gadol Ad Hashem Mikol Ho Elohim. Now I know that God is greater than all of the gods. Ki Badavar Ashazadu Aleihem. For in the matter that they acted willfully, transgressed against them. Two problems in this pasuk. First of all, the phrase "Ki Gadol Hashem Mikol Elohim" is difficult. Yeah, the implication is there. Yeah, what kind of praise is that? Did he believe in other gods? So it's of no value. That's avodah zarah. So on the other hand, if he didn't believe in other gods, so then what do you mean God is greater? And take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, midrashically, now I know. Rashi says, Makiro Yisi L'Shava. I recognize God in the past, the Achshav B'Yosef. Okay, so Rashi's dealing with that issue. What's the Ata? Seems he believed in God before. So he says, no, now it's B'Yosef. But Mikal Elohim, Malame Chayim Makir B'Chol Avodos Kecham Shiba Olam. Shlo Ha'eniach Avodos Kecham Shlo Avodos. So Rashi says that he was aware of all the idolatry systems. That is, he had practiced all the idolatry systems and he'd abandoned them. So he abandoned them. So then, if that's the case, it only strengthens the question. But also, what is the meaning of Kivadavar Asher Zadu Alayim? What does that mean? The statement seems to be complete without it. Now I know, as a result of the description of what took place, that God is greater. Okay, so we have a problem with the phrase. What's Kivadavar? That seems to be like an afterthought. And what does it mean? What's the plain check? Kibadav versus other olam. Now there's an interesting Ramban on this. And he has a beautiful explanation of Asher Zadu Alayhem. But the Ramban is learning it in line with his own Shita, in which he has a machlokas with the Rambam on a major question. So I'm just going to set that up. I'm not going to take it up today. You guys can focus on it. Maybe we'll come back to it. But the Ramban has a machlokas with the Rambam on the question. That is to say that since God promised to Avram, Ger Yez Arecha Be'eretz Lo Lahem, V'Avodam V'Inu Osam, that all this, it would seem, was predetermined, was presaged. God told Avram that they would be enslaved. So if that's the case, why did God, V'Gamas Hagai Asher Yavodu Don Anochi? Then God's saying, I'm also going to judge them, I'm going to hold them accountable. But if all of this was, so to speak, predicted and predetermined, that God wanted this to happen, so then why are the Egyptians guilty for something which was predetermined, so to speak? That's the problem. That's a very good question. Anybody reading the pasuk would raise that question. So there's a Rambam, and Rambam takes that up in Hilchos Tshuva, where he talks about the idea of Bechira, and he gives his answer. The Ramban gives a different answer. And the Ramban's answer, I believe, can be found on the Psukim, you know, in Bereshit, where in that area that I just mentioned. The Ramban gives a different answer. I think it's a very challenging answer, very difficult answer. But here, he uses this pasuk beautifully. If you accept the answer, then this pasuk is very beautiful in terms of bolstering the point. So I'm not going to take up the Ramban right now. So Rashi quotes, actually it's Unkelus. And that is, and I think that's the pshat that everybody is familiar with. Kibadava Rasha Zodolam means the Kriyas Yamsa. That when God brought justice, punishment upon the Mitzrayim, how? What? Drowned them in the sea. And that's what impressed them. What was so impressive about that? Because that's Mida Kenegan Mida. Because it just so happens that that's exactly what the Egyptians tried to do to destroy the Jews with water. That they cast every child into the water. Okay? And now, Kibadav Rosh another way. How did God save them? With water. In fact, I think if you have the stone Chumash, according to that, it's not really a complete statement. He's just saying it's like an allusion. They have like three dots, like an etc. Kibadav Rosh another way. Because in the matter that they, in other words, the thought has only begun. In the matter that they conspired against them, meaning in the matter that the Egyptians conspired against them, with water, he stopped. And you fill in the missing blanks. So too, they were punished with water. That's the, you see, it's an interesting device. That is to say that the pasuk is not containing the entire idea. It's just starting a trend of thought, then you have to complete it. The question is that it's, okay, it seems to be, doesn't seem to be the most significant thing. If you're, do you mean to imply that what really got Yisrael was the fact that they were destroyed through water, and that if you think about it, they tried, and there's a certain connection there. It's not coincidental that it was, that's the idea. I would say, okay, that's a nice, you know, touch. It's a, it makes the case better, but that's the whole essence of the thing. It seems over here he's saying kibadava. If the Torah points it out, that's the thing. And how does that particular, that it was mida keneged mida? Alright, so what if it wasn't mida keneged mida? Why is mida keneged mida? It's an important idea, obviously, but why is it so significant over here and recognize that God is greater than the other God? How does it fit with that idea? To make the case even stronger, let's say, you mean to tell me that if the same situation, the same scenario, the fact that the Jews were enslaved, all the psukim indicate that Yisrael could not believe that Egypt was the mightiest nation up until that point, no slave ever escaped from Egypt. And then the Jews escaped, the whole nation escaped. So you mean to say that if everything would have been the same, but instead of drowning in the sea, when the armies of Pharaoh came chasing after the Jews, that God would have chosen some different kind of a thing? Hail would come down, or rocks would come down in the sky, and it would go just on the Egyptian camp and not on the Jews, and they'd be wiped out that way, or some other kind of a disaster. They would have been swallowed up by the earth, like Korach of Odessa. So then it wouldn't be water and water. So you mean to say that's it? So Yisrael would not be impressed? All right, neither can I get me. It's an important idea, but to say that that's the whole essence of everything. So the Sforno says, Ki vadavar asher zadu aleihem. So he explains, Ki hitzel es ha'am, v'yoso ha'davar atzma. So we saved the nation with that very thing. Asher zadu ha'mitzrim aleihem shel Yisrael. That the Egyptians had transgressed against Israel. Kamo, ki yazadish al-reyehu. Just like it says, Mishpatim, that the man conspires against his friend. V'zehoya, and this was Shaharag Bichorehem. See, what the Sforno is doing is Kibadavash Zedu Aleim is not just limited to one thing, one case of water and, you know, back to water. But it, you see, that idea is expressed in many different aspects, in many different ways. For example, killing the Bichorim. Kamo Shahargu HaMitzrim Kala Ben Ayilo B'Yisrael. That was equivalent, so to speak. They sought to kill every male child. Or it wasn't necessarily the Bechor, but every male child. And they were punished with the Bechor, which corresponds to it. It's not identical, but it sort of corresponds to it. That Biyam Biyam, and he drowned them in the water, Kederach Shed Biyu Haim HaBanam Bior. Just like they drowned the children in the water. V'harigas HaBechoros, and he again mentions the Bechoros, has a double connection. Keneged b'ni b'chorai Yisrael. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, God said Moshe Rabbeinu at the very beginning, to one paro, b'ni b'chorai Yisrael. So he refers to Klal Yisrael as b'chor. And says, v'ima, and if but combine l'shalcho, and if you refuse to say the mad, he nei anochi hori kol b'chorecha. So you see that there's a connection between, on many different levels. It's not just a question of the water. V'hipches libam, and God hardened their hearts, acharei shlo shamu b'rtzona, after they did not listen willfully, you know, with the choice, out of their own free will. Okay. So fine. So he's adding a few more elements. But the question arises, so why is that so significant? In fact, isn't it enough that God intervened and said, Jews? So here's the essential part of the Sforno. Uvezeh hora gedulaso al kol Elohim. And in doing this, God demonstrated his greatness, his superiority over all the other gods. Now by gods over here, it means those beings that the nations worshipped as deities.
Like Paro?
Paro and all the nations. Ki lo chashva shem uva, sheyuchal shem echad, me Elohim Sorry, Myra. Mashale mida kineged mida kol dova. Aval chashvu sheyuchal b'davar echad meyuchad lo b'vav. See, it's not the fact that it was mida kineged mida per se, as we justice. That's a different. That's important, but that wasn't the essence. But the very idea, the whole purpose of the Makos, which is Mitzrayim, was to break down the system of Avodah Zarah and the Yadu Mitzrayim Keni Hashem, that there should be a whole new Yadia, which means that all the nations of the world were religious at that time, but they were locked up in an idolatrous kind of a mentality, and within the framework of their idolatrous mentality they couldn't recognize anything that exists outside of the framework of the physical world. So all the beings, so they identified, they projected certain beings that was intimately connected to goings on in the physical. Those are the sort of higher forces. But they didn't have an idea of a supreme being that is outside of the framework of the physical universe and brought the entire thing into existence and set it up and controls it. In that framework, so they projected, this was the God that had this power. That's why they had many gods. Every god had a particular power. So none of them ever imagined that any one of their gods could be able to do something like that, could bring about justice or revenge against the nation and mean the connected mean and all the various particularities and facets, because no being that they recognized had that kind of power. That's exactly what Parah said. Lo yadati esar Hashem. I don't know such a being. So that's kibadavar ashazadu alayhem means that when the whole objective of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to break down the system of idolatry. That's why he says, "V'chol Elohei Mitzrayim es eshvatam ani Hashem." That's part of Makas Bechora. Makas Bechora is all the idols were destroyed that night at the same time. It was to destroy idolatry, and more than that, an idolatrous mentality. To break people away from the idolatrous mentality and to recognize the truth that our idea of God is completely different. That's Gadol. Hashem Mikol Elohim means Gadol in a different kind of a way. It's a different kind of a being. That is to recognize that the entire world, the physical reality in which we find ourselves, is not the self-explanatory. It's not eternal. With different levels, with different forces that are attached to it. That's the idolatrous mentality. But this world has no real existence. The only true being is Kadosh Baruch Hu, who's outside the framework of this world, and he brought everything into existence, Yesh Me'ayin, and he set it up, and he controls every particular aspect of it. Of course, that's also part of the Tzach Hadash B'Achav. Every Makkah was designed to show every different thing that you turn to, whether it's the Or, the Tzfardim, and the atmosphere, and thunder, lightning, everything is under the control of this one being. The reason why that was done was to uproot the false idolatrous mentality, it's a certain type of a mentality, which believes in the existence of higher forces, and it can't get out of the realm of the physical. It can't get out of the realm of the physical and into the idea that there's a being, the true existence is non-physical, incorporeal being, a being that we can't even describe. And he reigns supreme, ain't owed. Who, Elokeinu, ain't owed. There's no other forces. He has complete control. That was the secret. That, I believe, is a secret. Neski v'adavar asher zadu aleihem indicates that God is greater than any other God. Because the most that these people could hope for is that their God had this power, and this power would overcome your power. And that's it. But the idea of there being a being who could run every aspect and every particular, and it's tied into an idea, that the B'nai B'chorai and your B'chorim, all of that such a phenomenon could be orchestrated, was outside the realm of idolatry. And that's precisely why it was done that way. So that's the pshat of the Sferno. It's a beautiful, beautiful pshat, but it gives you a tremendous insight into the whole concept of what the idolatry is and what the correct way of looking at God is demanded of us. It's interesting to note also that you see the Rashi's, when God told the Jews to go back into the closer to the Mitzrayim, you know, to set up the whole thing that the Mitzrayim will chase after them. So where did they camp? Lefnei Baal Tzifon. Nicho Sachanu Alayam. Lefnei Baal Tzifon was an idol. So Rashi says that all the idols were destroyed. But God specifically did not destroy that idol. Why? was the Jokin Sal Bechira. That they said, oh, you see that God can't defeat that one. It really, when they, God gives a person a choice. If they were intelligent, they would have recognized that this is the Yad Hashem. But when they rebelled, so they needed a certain rationalization. So you see, they reverted back to their idolatrous way of thinking. And the idolatrous way of thinking is that they're just different powers. Okay, so your God is very powerful. You see, he didn't kill Baltafon. Oh, so that gave them the encouragement to go ahead and chase after the Jews. I'm bringing that out to show you that the way they reacted to Baltafon, that Baltafon was still standing and had not been destroyed, and they took that to mean that Baltafon had specific powers. That was immune, so to speak. So that shows you the whole mentality of the Avodah Zarah. Of course, you can't ask why did God let Baal Zephon stand, because that's the whole idea of Bechira. The idea is Bechira, that God, to the contrary, the other Mitzrayim, God had given them every opportunity to come to a correct recognition. So now they should have had the correct recognition of God. And to do more than that, and to destroy every idol in the world, because that it might give you the encouragement. That's true. It'll give you the encouragement if you decide to regress back to your idolatrous mentality. So that's your choice.